Hello everyone. I'm delighted to be with you today to discuss the Hong Kong Stock Exchange's proposals for the reform of the JAM market. So the Stock Exchange published its consultation paper on JAM listing reforms on the 26th of September 2023 and has asked for feedback on its proposals to be submitted by the 6th of November 2023. The stated aim of the proposed JAM reforms is to encourage more companies to list on JAM while maintaining high investor protection standards. This comes against a background where there's been only one new listing on JAM since the end of 2020, compared to 185 listings on the main board. In a bid to make JAM more attractive to SMEs, which the consultation paper defines as small and medium-sized companies, the exchange has put forward proposals for a new alternative financial listing eligibility test, introducing a new route to JAM listing for high growth companies that are heavily involved in research and development, and the introduction of a streamlined process for eligible JAM companies to transfer their listing to the main board. The exchange is also proposing to remove some of the more onerous continuing obligations of JAM listed companies, including the mandatory quarterly financial reporting, and to bring their ongoing obligations into closer alignment with those of main board listed companies. I'm going to start by briefly looking at the history of JAM and how it's been repositioned over the years. I'll then move on to the Stock Exchange's view of the current state of JAM and the feedback it received from its recent review of the market. I'll then look in detail at the proposed JAM listing reforms and their rationale. So Hong Kong's growth enterprise market, which is now called JAM, was launched in November 1999. Although the consultation paper states it was launched to cater for early stage dot-com companies, its original scope was wider than just tech companies. The need for a second board in Hong Kong had been under discussion since 1987, and when it launched in 1999, it was as an alternative capital raising platform for startup companies of all types. However, its launch coincided with the global dot-com boom of 1999 and 2000, and along with the tech and growth boards of other international exchanges, particularly the US NASDAQ and London's AIM market, JAM listed a number of internet-related businesses. JAM originally had much lower entry criteria than the main board. Applicants had to show 2 years of active business, but there was no profit or other financial test for listing. The Stock Exchange adopted a so-called buyer beware light touch approach to regulating JAM. This was based on an enhanced disclosure-based regime, which required prominent buyer beware risk warnings to be included in listing documents and mandatory quarterly financial reporting. JAM investors also had to sign a separate risk disclosure statement before dealing in JAM shares. The Stock Exchange initially administered JAM completely separately from the main board. It set up a separate department for JAM within the listing division and a separate JAM listing committee. JAM had its own listing rules, which differed from the main board rules in many respects, given the perceived greater risks of investing in startup companies. JAM also benefited from listings of mainland companies that couldn't meet the mainland's high thresholds for listing on overseas main markets, such as the Hong Kong main board. The so-called 456 rule required mainland companies wanting to list on main markets overseas to have 400 million RMB in net assets, raise 50 million US dollars at least in funds, and have 60 million RMB or more of after-tax profits. JAM was initially considered a success, and in 2000 and 2001, it listed more companies than the main board. In 2001, JAM listed 57 companies, while the main board listed 31. When the dot-com boom ended, many JAM stocks dropped in price, resulting in losses, extended suspension periods, and lack of liquidity in some companies' shares. The number of JAM listings declined from 2003, and in 2005, there were just 10 JAM listings on JAM. The exchange also attributed this drop in part to a change in mainland regulations, the issue of Circular 75 by the State Administration of Foreign Exchange, which required offshore vehicles used by mainland private companies to list outside the mainland to be registered with it. Nevertheless, there are a number of successful JAM listed companies, and by the end of 2005, 12 companies had grown sufficiently to transfer their listing to the main board. In 2006, following the decline in the number of companies listing on JAM, the exchange issued a discussion paper on JAM inviting comments on three possible options for JAM. Respondents overwhelmingly favoured the option proposing a completely new light-touch alternative market modelled on London's AIM market, which has no specific eligibility criteria, and suitability for listing is determined by companies' nominated advisors rather than the exchange. At the time, AIM was one of the world's most successful growth markets, and with over 1,000 listed companies compared to GEM, which then had 203 listed companies. But the exchange and the SFC decided not to proceed with the AIM model and instead repositioned GEM in July 2008 from an alternative board for emerging and growth companies to a stepping stone to the main board. Most of GEM's original features were repealed. New admission requirements were introduced, including requirements for GEM listing applicants to have minimum cash flow of 20 million Hong Kong dollars in total for the two financial years before listing, and an expected market cap at listing of 100 million Hong Kong dollars, and many GEM listing rules were aligned with those of the main board. The July 2008 repositioning also streamlined the process for transferring from GEM to the main board by removing the need for a sponsor to be appointed to conduct due diligence on the company transferring to the main board and removing the requirement to publish a prospectus standard listing document. In February 2018, the exchange repositioned GEM again, this time as a standalone board for small and medium-sized companies. The impetus for the repositioning was the exchange's belief that GEM's lower admission requirements and streamlined transfer process had been exploited by poorer quality companies to gain easy access to the main board by listing first on GEM and then transferring to the main board, and by other companies which had listed only to profit from their position as listed shells, which at that time commanded high prices due to their ability to transfer easily to the main board. Other concerns related to high concentrations of shareholdings among a small group of shareholders in GEM listed companies and extreme share price volatility after some IPOs. This time the repositioning involved raising the admission criteria for GEM listing. The minimum cash flow requirement was increased to 30 million Hong Kong dollars from 20 million, and the minimum market cap requirement was raised to 150 million Hong Kong dollars from 100 million. The exchange also introduced a new requirement for at least 10% of the offer shares to be publicly offered. Previously, it had been possible to list on GEM by way of placing only. The aim was to ensure that there was real investor interest in the company being listed. The streamlined process for transferring from GEM to the main board was removed, and the exchange reimposed the requirements to appoint a sponsor to conduct due diligence on the transferring company and for the issue of a prospectus standard listing document. Under the transitional provisions, companies already listed on GEM on the 16th of June 2017 and companies that had applied to list on GEM before that date were allowed 3 years until 15th of February 2021 to transfer to the main board under the 2017 streamlined transfer process. Following a further consultation in 2020, the stock exchange raised the main board profit test requirement 60% on the 1st of January 2022, and a number of respondents to that consultation expressed concerns about the viability of GEM as an alternative listing venue for companies that can't meet the higher main board profit requirement and GEM's competitiveness vis-a-vis other international exchanges. In its consultation conclusions published in May 2021, the exchange said that it would conduct a review of GEM to assess its positioning, market perception and viability as an alternative market to the main board. GEM reform was given further impetus recently when the Financial Secretary said in the 2023-2024 budget in February 2023 that the exchange will put forward specific reform recommendations on GEM within this year after carefully considering the views of various market players on the financings needs of SMEs and startups. Following that, the SFC's Julia Leung gave a speech on the 7th of July 2023 on the need for Hong Kong to restore the original intent of a junior board for quality growth enterprises. As to GEM's recent listing performance, as you can see on the slide, there's been a significant decline in the number of companies listing on GEM. In 2019, there were 15 IPOs on GEM. This dropped to 8 GEM IPOs in 2020, 1 IPO in 2021, and none in 2022 and in the first 9 months of 2023. The amount of total funds raised on GEM in IPOs and post-listing fundraisings also declined from 4.3 billion Hong Kong dollars in 2019 to just 2.7 billion in 2022. The consultation paper attributes the recent decline in GEM listings principally to the impact of the COVID pandemic from 2020 to 2022 and the increase in the number of listing venues open to mainland small and medium-sized companies. According to the consultation paper, 46% of companies listed on GEM get the majority of their revenue from Hong Kong, while 33% get the majority of their revenue from mainland China. As you can see from the chart on slide 7, around 75% of GEM-listed companies operate in four industries: consumer discretionary, information technology, properties and construction, and industrials. The consultation paper notes that the COVID-19 pandemic had a significant impact on the financial performances of businesses in the four main industries in which most GEM-listed companies operate because of reduced consumer spending and supply chain challenges, which resulted in a 39% drop on average in the market cap of GEM-listed companies in these industries since 2019. The exchange suggests that the impact on the financial performance of companies in these sectors meant that companies that might otherwise have listed could not meet the eligibility requirements for listing on GEM. The exchange notes in the consultation paper that around one-third of GEM-listed companies derive the majority of their revenue from mainland China, and that the launch of the Beijing Stock Exchange, which is a market dedicated to listing innovative SMEs, means that mainland SMEs now have a broader range of potential listing venues. As you can see on the slide, the BSE has had a relatively strong IPO and fundraising performance since it launched in November 2021. As of the 31st of August 2023, 145 companies had carried out IPOs on the Beijing Stock Exchange, raising 28.6 billion RMB, around 31.5 billion Hong Kong dollars. The number of companies listed on the Beijing Exchange more than doubled from 81 to 216 between November 2021 and the end of August 2023. The average daily turnover of equity securities listed on the Beijing Stock Exchange was more than seven times higher than on GEM in the first 8 months of 2023. In the consultation paper, the stock exchange stresses its commitment to SMEs, which it says are the backbone of the Hong Kong economy, driving innovation, employment, and economic growth. According to Trade and Industry Department data, they accounted for over 98% of businesses and around 45% of employment in Hong Kong. The exchange says in the consultation paper that it recognizes its role as a funding source for SMEs seeking long-term corporate investment to sustain their innovation. The exchange says in the consultation paper that it wants to offer investors access to SME listings to enable them to diversify their investment portfolios. It will continue to implement innovative listing reforms to cater for the evolving needs of a broad range of companies. It also acknowledges that some companies list not to raise funds, but because of the reputational benefits of being listed, or for other matters such as succession planning. As I mentioned earlier, some respondents to the 2020 consultation on raising the main board profit test expressed doubts about the viability of GEM as a listing platform for SMEs and traditional companies. The stock exchange responded by announcing a review of GEM to evaluate GEM's positioning, market perception, and feasibility as an alternative to the main board. According to the exchange's statistics, investors in GEM-listed companies include institutions, corporates, and individuals who have average shareholdings in GEM-listed companies of 7.3%, 39.2%, and 40.4%, respectively. During its review, the stock exchange engaged industry associations, professional bodies, and industry practitioners such as law firms, sponsor firms, and investment managers. It also sought feedback from mainland institutional SME investors, given that the Beijing Stock Exchange has attracted more SME listings and exhibits significantly higher trading liquidity than GEM. The mainland institutional SME investors included securities firms and investment managers who actively invest or hold interest in companies listed on the Beijing Stock Exchange. The five key issues reportedly raised by stakeholders were GEM's existing eligibility requirements, possible alternative eligibility requirements, the continuing obligations of GEM-listed companies, the process for transferring to the main board, and the cost of listing. Some stakeholders considered that the existing eligibility requirements for listing on GEM are too high and uncompetitive, and that they prevent some SMEs from listing. They suggested lowering the financial eligibility requirements to allow more companies to list. Mainland institutional SME investors, on the other hand, considered that GEM's listing eligibility requirements were already low compared to peer exchanges, and they opposed lowering the current eligibility requirements, which they thought might negatively impact market quality. Some stakeholders thought that Hong Kong's position as an international financial centre and gateway to the mainland should enable it to develop a pipeline of listing applicants from the Greater Bay Area, and suggested that the exchange should aim to list high-quality Greater Bay Area companies. Comments were made by some stakeholders that GEM's positive cash flow requirement prevents the listing of companies with high growth potential that do not have a track record of positive operating cash flow because they're heavily engaged in R&D. Some thought that the growth potential of this type of company could balance the risks of investing in small cap companies. The Beijing Stock Exchange has adopted spending on R&D as one of two sets of initial listing criteria in a move to support technology and research-driven growth companies. Other stakeholders considered the continuing obligations of GEM-listed companies to be excessive, while mainland institutional SME investors thought that they were already more relaxed than those of mainland stock exchanges. The Stock Exchange received requests from a number of respondents to reinstate the streamlined mechanism for transfer of listing from GEM to the main board. They thought that the exchange's removal of the streamlined transfer process in 2018 had discouraged companies from listing on GEM and incentivized them to stay private until they could meet the eligibility requirements for listing on the main board. In fact, in 2017, which was the last year before the exchange raised GEM's admission requirements and removed the streamlined transfer process, 80 companies listed on GEM. The high cost of listing on GEM was a common reason given for the fall in the number of companies listing. Listing expenses are particularly high for SMEs relative to the amount of funds raised at listing. For example, companies that listed on GEM in 2019 or later incurred expenses that represented 52% of the average gross funds raised, with the actual percentages ranging from 25% to 83%. Listing expenses for GEM applicants typically comprise the stock exchange's initial listing fee as well as market practitioner's fees. The stock exchange's analysis shows that market practitioner fees, including those of legal advisors, sponsors, underwriters, and reporting accountants, represent in aggregate approximately 75% of all listing expenses. Of these, the stock exchange's initial listing fee is by far the smallest component, representing less than 1% of all listing expenses. The GEM reform proposals set out in the consultation paper aim to address the key issues raised during the stakeholder engagement, that is, the initial listing requirements, GEM companies' continuing obligations, and the process of transferring to the main board. And I'll now discuss each of these in turn. Currently, two of the main board requirements for listing on GEM are that the listing applicant must have positive cash flow from its operating activities of at least 30 million Hong Kong dollars in total for the two financial years before listing, and an expected market cap at the time of listing of at least 150 million. GEM's current minimum market cap test is one of the factors that the stock exchange uses as an indicator of sufficiency of investor interest in the trading of a listing applicant's shares on listing. The requirement for a listing applicant to demonstrate a track record of minimum positive cash flow before listing is one of the criteria the stock exchange uses to assess the long-term sustainability of its business. The exchange believes that these financial eligibility tests help to ensure that the investing public have and can maintain confidence in GEM as a market. The stock exchange comments that GEM's listing eligibility criteria are already low compared to its peer exchanges and lower than those of the Beijing Stock Exchange. The stock exchange thus disagrees with stakeholder feedback that GEM's financial eligibility tests are uncompetitive. However, it acknowledges that the cash flow requirement may prevent the listing of high growth companies that are heavily involved in research and development. The stock exchange therefore agrees that a pathway to listing should be created specifically for these growth companies, particularly those in the technology and research-driven sectors, which are increasingly driving economic growth in Hong Kong, the Greater Bay Area, and elsewhere. The stock exchange believes that providing fundraising opportunities to these companies given their growth potential, may offset the additional risks of investing in small-cap companies. The exchange is therefore proposing to introduce an alternative financial eligibility test called the Market Cap Revenue R&D Test to target high-growth enterprises that are heavily engaged in research and development activities. Under this new test, GEM listing applicants will be required to have an adequate trading record of at least 2 financial years, an expected market cap of at least 250 million Hong Kong dollars at the time of listing, revenue of at least 100 million Hong Kong dollars in aggregate for the 2 most recent audited financial years, with year-on-year growth over the 2 financial years. It will also be a requirement under the new test that the listing applicant must have incurred R&D expenditure of at least 30 million Hong Kong dollars in aggregate for the 2 financial years prior to listing. In addition, the research and development expenditure incurred for each financial year must be at least 15% of the company's total operating expenditure for the same period. The proposed minimum operational track record requirement under the new test is the same as under the existing cash flow test, that is, a track record of 2 full financial years before listing. Under the new test, the existing 1-year ownership continuity and 2-year management continuity requirements will continue to apply. The stock exchange claims that the higher minimum market cap threshold of 250 million Hong Kong dollars compared to 150 million Hong Kong dollars under the cash flow test should mitigate the risk of the absence of a track record of cash flow by requiring GEM listing applicants to demonstrate a market cap that is indicative of more substantial shareholder support for its financial position and future prospects. The proposed minimum revenue threshold of 100 million Hong Kong dollars should, in the opinion of the stock exchange, address stakeholders' concerns that companies with high growth potential do not have a track record of positive operating cash flow to meet the current 30 million Hong Kong dollar cash flow requirement if they're heavily engaged in R&D. The minimum R&D expenditure threshold of 30 million Hong Kong dollars is apparently based on the exchange's analysis of profiles of SME companies listed on comparable junior markets, and the minimum R&D expenditure ratio of 15% is consistent with the ratio applied to commercial companies by the stock exchange's listing regime for specialist technology companies. To avoid confusion, the proposed market cap revenue R&D test merely offers another set of listing eligibility criteria which GEM listing applicants can choose to list under. The current cash flow test will remain unchanged, and applicants can still rely on this as a criteria to list on GEM. The exchange is also proposing to reduce the period of the post-IPO lockup for controlling shareholders of GEM-listed companies from 24 to 12 months in line with the main board lockup provisions. The current 24-month lockup requirement was introduced in 2018 to address the exchange's concerns regarding shell manufacture. The aim was to require controlling shareholders to demonstrate a stronger commitment to GEM companies. Noting that shell activities have largely ceased, the stock exchange no longer considers the prolonged lockup period to be necessary. It also recognizes that a lengthy lockup period for controlling shareholders makes a GEM listing less attractive and hinders newly listed GEM companies' business development by potentially delaying their ability to issue securities for fundraising purposes. The proposed reduction of the post-IPO lockup period for controlling shareholders of GEM-listed companies to 12 months will mean that controlling shareholders will not be able to dispose of any of their interests in the listed company during the first 6 months after listing, and will not be able to dispose of any interest during the 6 months commencing at the end of the first 6-month period, if that would result in their no longer being a controlling shareholder. To aid liquidity at IPO, the exchange says that it may also explore the concept of a free float as part of a future consultation exercise. A free float requirement is a requirement that a minimum number of a listed company's shares are not subject to a lockup. A free float is required by NASDAQ. The consultation paper also includes various consequential and housekeeping amendments. Under the reverse takeover and extreme transaction rules, where a reverse takeover or extreme transaction involves a series of transactions and or arrangements, and the acquisition targets cannot meet management and or ownership continuity requirements under the current cash flow test solely as a result of the acquisition by the listed company, the exchange can consider granting waivers on a case-by-case basis from strict compliance with these requirements. The exchange is proposing to extend these waivers to the equivalent management and ownership continuity requirements under the proposed new market cap revenue R&D test. Currently, the main board listing rules on reverse takeovers and extreme transactions say that the equivalent waivers from the management and/or ownership continuity requirements only apply to the profit test and are silent on their application to the main board's market cap revenue cash flow test and market cap revenue test. The stock exchange is proposing to explicitly apply the waivers to the two alternative main board eligibility tests, which is consistent with its existing guidance on reverse takeovers. The exchange is also proposing to reduce some of GEM-listed companies' ongoing compliance obligations. It's proposing to remove the requirement for a compliance advisor and to reduce the period during which GEM companies must appoint a compliance advisor. As I mentioned earlier, GEM was originally launched as a buyer beware market for growth companies. The requirements for a compliance officer and compliance advisors were implemented at that time to help advise companies that were at a relatively early stage of their development so as to comply with their regulatory obligations. The Stock Exchange's 2017 analysis of the types of companies that list on GEM found that GEM-listed companies had been in operation for an average of 15 years at the time of their listing. As GEM listing applicants are typically well-established companies when they list on GEM, the exchange no longer considers it necessary to require the appointment of a compliance officer. The current GEM listing rules require one of the executive directors of a GEM-listed company to assume responsibility as its compliance officer. Given the exchange's view that GEM is now a market for established SMEs, it now expects the GEM company's directors to have experience that's similar in extent to that of main board company directors. The Stock Exchange proposes to shorten the mandatory period of engagement of the compliance advisor for GEM-listed companies so that it ends on the date on which the GEM company publishes its financial results for the first instead of the second full financial year commencing after the date of its initial listing. The exchange also proposes to remove the GEM listing rule requirements relating to a compliance advisor's responsibilities regarding due diligence on listing documents published and dealing with the stock exchange in relation to certain transactions during the period of its engagement as a compliance advisor, and the requirement for compliance advisors to disclose any interest that it, its directors, employees, or its close associates have in the listed company or any relevant transaction. These changes relating to compliance officers and compliance advisors are proposed to better align the GEM listing rule requirements with those of the main board. The exchange has also proposed amending the financial reporting requirements so that these are more in line with those of main board companies. In particular, it proposes to remove the requirement for mandatory quarterly reporting. It notes that the requirement for GEM-listed companies to produce quarterly reports was implemented when GEM was positioned as a market for early-stage companies. This was consistent with the disclosure-based buyer-beware philosophy of GEM's initial regulatory approach. Now, as GEM listing applicants are usually well-established with a long history of operations, the original rationale for imposing a mandatory quarterly reporting requirement has become less relevant. Removing quarterly reporting as a mandatory requirement aims to help address stakeholders' concerns regarding high compliance costs for GEM-listed companies, which are considered to be disproportionately high for SMEs relative to the amount of funds raised. This revision is also in line with the increasing convergence of the GEM and main board listing rules in recent years. Quarterly financial reporting will, however, be a recommended best practice in GEM's corporate governance code, and the exchange anticipates that some GEM companies may continue to report quarterly on a voluntary basis to meet the needs of their investors. All references to half-year report in the GEM listing rules will be updated to interim report. In addition to further align the GEM requirements with those of the main board, GEM-listed companies will be required to publish their annual reports not later than 4 months after the end of each financial year, and their interim reports not later than 3 months after the end of the first 6 months of each financial year. The exchange also proposes to require GEM-listed companies to publish preliminary announcements of results for the first 6 months of each financial year, not later than 2 months after the end of that six-month period, rather than 45 days after it ends, as is currently required. This is in line with the existing requirements for companies listed on the main board. The exchange notes that GEM listed companies will still need to promptly disclose inside information to the public under the Securities and Futures Ordinance. It therefore considers that the proposed changes to the reporting requirement should not reduce the timeliness or level of disclosure by GEM listed companies. The exchange also retains its discretion under the listing rules to impose additional ongoing disclosure requirements on a case-by-case basis, if necessary in particular circumstances. For example, additional requirements may be imposed for companies listing under the proposed new market cap revenue R&D test if they're from industries new to the Hong Kong market. The exchange also notes that only half of the overseas junior markets reviewed by the exchange mandate quarterly reporting for listed companies. These are the Beijing Stock Exchange and the Nasdaq Capital Market. London's AIM and Singapore's Catalyst Market do not require quarterly financial reporting. The exchange notes in the consultation paper that the current ESG reporting requirements are the same for both GEM listed and main board listed companies, despite the fact that companies listed on GEM generally have smaller operations and lower ESG risks and opportunities compared to companies listed on the main board. The exchange also comments that limited resources may also hinder GEM companies' ability to meet the ESG reporting requirements. The exchange also notes that the International Sustainability Standards Board and the International Financial Reporting Standards Foundation have recognized the challenges facing smaller companies in complying with their standards and have provided some flexibility in implementing their new IRFS S1 general requirements for disclosure of sustainability-related financial information and IFRS S2 climate-related disclosures. They've introduced the concept of reasonable and supportable information that is available at the reporting date without undue cost or effort when applying these standards. The Stock Exchange also acknowledges the different capabilities and preparedness of companies and says that it intends to take a measured approach in implementing ESG-related requirements for GEM companies that are proportionate to their circumstances. The exchange will further update the market as to its thinking on this topic in due course. Probably one of the most important proposals in the consultation paper is the exchange's proposal to reintroduce a new streamlined mechanism for qualified GEM companies to transfer their listings to the main board. The requirements for the new mechanism will be set out in new Chapter 9B of the main board listing rules. As I mentioned earlier when we looked at the history of GEM, the exchange introduced a streamlined transfer process to the GEM market in 2008 when it repositioned GEM as a stepping stone to the main board, but then removed this in 2018 when, because of its view that it had achieved limited success, coupled with concerns that it was being exploited in various ways. The exchange says in the consultation paper that it believes that the proposed introduction of the new streamlined transfer mechanism will not lead to recurrence of shell activities, which it says have largely ceased. Instead, it agrees with stakeholders that the proposed mechanism should encourage companies to list on GEM rather than wait to apply to list on the main board. The new streamlined transfer mechanism will involve removing the current requirement for GEM transferees to appoint a sponsor to conduct due diligence and relevant investigations with respect to the transferring company before its transfer. It will also remove the requirement for GEM transferees to publish a prospective standard listing document. The new mechanism should therefore reduce the cost of transfer to the main board for eligible GEM companies. To be eligible to transfer under the new streamlined transfer mechanism, GEM companies must meet a number of requirements. The first of those requirements is that the transfer applicant must meet all the requirements for listing on the main board in line with the existing requirement. Secondly, the exchange is proposing that transfer applicants must have a minimum track record of 3 full financial years as a GEM listed company before transferring to the main board, instead of only 1 full financial year commencing after the date of its initial listing on GEM, which is the current requirement. It will also require streamlined transfer applicants to demonstrate that there's been ownership continuity and control and no fundamental change in their principal business throughout the 3-year financial track record period. The exchange believes that allowing the streamlined transfer process for companies with at least a 3-year track record period prior to transfer is justified, since transfer applicants will have already been subject to a due diligence process mandatory disclosures, including on their financial position and future prospects, and audit requirements under the GEM listing rules before their transfer application. In the exchange's view, since transfer applicants will have already published the information investors require to make an informed investment decision on the company's financial position and future prospects, and that information is available to investors on the websites of the company and the exchange, it's not necessary for streamlined transfer applicants to publish a prospectus standard listing document on transfer. It also argues that this and the ownership continuity requirement for transfer applicants should mitigate the risks that the current sponsor appointment requirement seeks to address. The exchange is also proposing to make eligibility for the new streamlined transfer mechanism subject to two new tests: a minimum daily turnover threshold test and a volume-weighted average market cap test. The proposed minimum daily turnover threshold will require a transfer applicant's daily turnover to have reached a minimum threshold on at least 50% of the trading days over the 250 trading days immediately preceding the transfer application and until the commencement of dealings in its securities on the main board. This will be defined in the listing rules as the reference period. A transfer applicant's daily turnover will be the trading turnover in its GEM shares. That's to say, the value of GEM shares traded on a trading day as stated in the stock exchange's daily quotation sheets. Trading days will exclude any trading days on which trading of the applicant's securities was halted or suspended. The minimum daily turnover threshold is proposed to be set at either $100,000 Hong Kong dollars or $50,000 Hong Kong dollars, subject to the views of respondents to the consultation paper. The rationale for these thresholds is to help ensure that a transferee's market cap is supported by a minimum level of daily turnover over the period from 250 days before submission of the transfer application to the date of commencement of the transfer applicant's securities on the main board. The tables prepared by the stock exchange set out on this slide give a general indication of the number of GEM companies that could potentially use the new streamlined transfer mechanism under each of the 100,000 Hong Kong and 50,000 Hong Kong options for two cohorts of GEM-listed companies, the first being eligible GEM issuers, that's companies listed on GEM that could meet the main board listing eligibility requirements as at 31st August 2023. The second cohort consists of GEM transfers, that's GEM-listed companies that transferred to the main board between the 1st of January 2018 and the 31st of August 2023. As you can see on the slide, half of the companies meeting the main board listing requirements and 65% of the companies that transferred their listing to GEM would be eligible to transfer their listing under the new streamlined transfer mechanism if the minimum daily turnover threshold was set at 100,000 Hong Kong dollars. If the minimum daily turnover threshold was set at 50,000 Hong Kong dollars, the number of GEM companies meeting the main board listing requirements that would be eligible for the streamlined transfer mechanism jumps to 83%, and 79% of the GEM companies that transferred their listing to the main board. The exchange notes that its proposed liquidity-based qualification is in line with the approach taken by the Beijing Stock Exchange, which has a trading volume-based requirement in place for transfers of listing to the Star Market and the Chinext Market. These transfers require the transferee to have at least 10 million shares as accumulated trading volume for 60 consecutive trading days prior to the board's approval of the transfer announcement. The Stock Exchange's proposed volume-weighted average market cap test will require applicants for streamlined transfer to the main board to have a volume-weighted average market cap over the reference period that meets the minimum cap requirement for listing on the main board. For this purpose, the volume-weighted average market cap will be calculated as the sum of the daily market cap multiplied by the ratio of the daily number of shares traded to the total number of shares traded for all the trading days over the reference period as adjusted for any applicable corporate actions. The daily market cap is the number of total issued shares of the company as shown in the most recent company next day disclosure return or monthly return multiplied by the intraday volume weighted average price of the listed company securities, which should be calculated by dividing the daily turnover by the daily number of shares traded for that trading day. The volume-weighted average market cap test will take into account the number of shares traded on each trading day during the reference period in a way that ensures that the valuation on trading days, where trading volume is relatively high, will have a more significant contribution to the average market cap than the valuation on trading days, where trading volume is relatively low. The aims of the proposed volume-weighted average market cap test when combined with the proposed daily turnover test are to mitigate the risk that the minimum market cap is met by a valuation which is inflated or distorted by a limited number of trades when trading turnover is low, and to identify companies with a valuation that's based on adequate investor demand. Other requirements for streamlined transfer applicants are that the transfer applicant must not have been the subject of any disciplinary investigation of a serious breach or potentially serious breach of any listing rules during the 12-month period prior to transfer. However, in the exchange's view, the wording disciplinary investigation may imply that disciplinary proceedings must have begun or that the stock exchange's enforcement team must have started an investigation and may not be broad enough to cover investigations conducted prior to the commencement of disciplinary proceedings, for example, investigations at an earlier stage by the stock exchange's company regulation team. The exchange also notes that the current wording does not explicitly exclude transfer applicants that have committed a serious breach of any listing rules. To address these issues, the exchange is proposing to amend the main board listing rules to require transfer applicants to have a clean compliance record with no serious breaches of the GEM listing rules in the 12 months prior to the transfer application and no ongoing stock exchange investigations or disciplinary proceedings relating to a serious breach of the listing rules at the date of the transfer application and when dealing in the applicant's securities commences on the main board. In the exchange's view, these requirements will mitigate the risk that any disciplinary action will be taken or a serious breach of the listing rules will be subsequently held to have taken place against the applicant after it's transferred to the main board. GEM companies that can't meet the eligibility requirements for the new streamlined transfer mechanism will not be able to take advantage of it, but can transfer to the main board under the existing transfer mechanism under Chapter 9A of the main board listing rules, which requires the transfer applicant to appoint a sponsor and issue a prospectus standard listing document. As for the procedure for transferring under the new streamlined transfer mechanism, applications will be processed by the exchange's listing division and approved by the listing committee. Stream transfer applicants will need to submit to the exchange's listing division a formal application for listing on the main board, which includes their director's confirmations that all relevant requirements for the transfer of listing are complied with. This will need to be submitted with a working capital sufficiency statement, together with relevant supporting information, confirming that the working capital available for the group is sufficient for the next 12 months from the date of publication of the company's announcement of the exchange's formal in-principle approval of its transfer, and that the company's financial advisors or auditors are satisfied that that confirmation has been given after due and careful inquiry, and that persons or institutions providing finance have stated in writing that the relevant financing facilities exist. Streamlined transfer applicants will also need to submit with the application for main board listing an advanced draft public announcement of the transfer, which the consultation refers to as the long form announcement. This will have to be pre-vetted by the listing division. The long-form announcement must include a prescribed form disclaimer statement, a director's responsibility statement, a confirmation and fulfillment of all preconditions to the transfer of listing, and the reasons for the company transferring its listing to the main board. The long-form announcement must also state that the exchange has approved the company's transfer to the main board and set out the names of the company's directors and its GEM and main board stock codes. Statements of the company's securities CCAS eligibility and that various documents are displayed on the exchange's website and the company's website must also be included. If applicable, a statement of any listing of options or warrants that will be transferred together with the underlying securities should also be included. The long-form announcement will need to be published as soon as practicable and in any event not later than one business day after the company receives the stock exchange's formal in-principle approval for transfer of its listing to the main board, and at least 5 clear business days before the date dealings in its shares on the main board are expected to commence. The transfer applicant will also be required to publish a short announcement informing the public of its application transfer to the main board on the day the application is submitted. Under the new streamlined transfer mechanism, the transfer applicant must also have obtained all necessary shareholders' board and or regulatory approvals required for the transfer of listing and be able to demonstrate that there has been, throughout its 3-year financial track record period, ownership continuity and control, and no fundamental change in its principal business. The exchange is proposing to exempt GEM transferees to the main board from the main board initial listing fee, which is currently required under Appendix 8 to the main board listing rules. The proposed fee exemption aims to respond to stakeholders' concerns regarding listing costs by reducing the cost of a transfer of listing from GEM to the main board. The exchange believes that these concerns will also be addressed by its proposals to reduce ongoing compliance burdens for GEM-listed companies, such as the proposed removal of the mandatory quarterly reporting requirements and the proposed removal of the sponsor appointment of prospectus standard listing document requirements under the new streamlined transfer process to the main board. Parties interested in responding to the consultation paper can do so by completing and submitting the questionnaire available on the exchange's website by 6th of November 2023. In considering the proposed GEM reforms, the exchange referred to other selected junior exchanges, including the Beijing Stock Exchange, the Nasdaq Capital Market, Catalyst, and AIM. The Beijing Stock Exchange, which was introduced in 2021, is a fundraising platform for innovative mainland SMEs. It replaced NEEQ's top-tier select market, which catered to SMEs ineligible for listing on other mainland China markets, like the Star Market and the Chinex Market. During its launch, the Beijing Stock Exchange admitted 71 companies from the NEEQ select market. The listing standards for the Beijing Stock Exchange are designed for, quote, specialized and sophisticated, unquote, enterprises, allowing them to list without a profit and revenue track record. In January 2022, the CSRC issued guidance on transferring listings from the Beijing Stock Exchange to the Star Market and the Chinex Market. To date, 3 companies have transferred to these 2 markets. The Nasdaq Capital Market, formerly known as the Nasdaq Small Cap Market, is one of the 3 market tiers offered by Nasdaq. It was originally focused on listing SMEs, but it was renamed in 2005 to accommodate companies of different market cap sizes. The Nasdaq Capital Market has less stringent initial financial and liquidity requirements compared to the other 2 tiers, but adheres to the same corporate governance standards. Companies on the Nasdaq Capital Market have the opportunity to transfer to a higher market tier without delisting and relisting as long as they meet the quantitative requirements of the relevant tier. Catalyst was launched by the Singapore Stock Exchange in 2007 to replace SESDAQ, and it focuses on meeting the fundraising needs of rapidly growing companies, particularly SMEs, that find the processes and costs of a main board listing challenging. As a sponsor-regulated market, Catalyst uses sponsors to oversee companies instead of a regulatory body. Listing applicants have to engage a sponsor to assess their suitability for listing and ensure compliance with the listing rules. The Singapore Exchange regulates Catalyst-listed companies under its listing rules, which cover the market's admission criteria, listed companies' ongoing obligations, and the Singapore Exchange's powers to discipline listed companies. Companies can transfer their listings from Catalyst to the Singapore Stock Exchange's main board without delisting and relisting, subject to specific qualification requirements, disclosure obligations, and shareholders' approval by a special resolution. AIM, also known as the Alternative Investment Market, was established by the London Stock Exchange, the LSE, in 1995 as a platform for smaller companies to raise capital. It caters specifically to the needs of growth companies and operates under a NOMAD or nominated advisor regulatory model. A NOMAD approved by the LSE guides and advises companies on their responsibilities during admission to AIM and on their ongoing obligations. Moving from AIM to the LSE main market requires delisting from AIM and meeting the entry criteria and regulatory requirements of the main market. There's no streamlined transfer process in place. So the exchange's consultation paper published on the 26th of September 2023 represents its third major proposal for the reform of GEM since GEM was launched in 1999. The major initiatives presented in the consultation paper include the proposed introduction of a second eligibility test for listing, which is targeted at growth companies which can't meet the current positive cash flow test because of their heavy expenditure on R&D. In practice, these are likely to be tech and tech-related companies. The second major initiative is the reintroduction of a streamlined process for companies to transfer to the main board. In the exchange's view, this may encourage more companies to list on GEM rather than wait until they've grown enough to list on the main board. The exchange's proposed removal of the requirement to appoint a sponsor and publish a prospectus standard listing document will also reduce the cost of transferring to the main board. Greater alignment of the GEM rules with those of the main board are probably overdue, particularly the removal of the mandatory quarterly financial requirement for GEM companies, as this will reduce listed companies' ongoing compliance costs. Nevertheless, even with the proposed reforms, GEM remains a long way from its original intended purpose, a buyer beware market for startup companies with light touch regulation. So that brings me to the end of the formal part of this presentation. Thank you again for joining me, and I hope that you enjoyed the webinar. Bye.